The philosophies of East and West developed for centuries without much awareness of one another, either of their differences or their similarities. As a result, those differences run deep, and the East-West Center has led an effort to enhance the dialogue between them. Each has much to learn from the other. The center is the site of the 11th East-West Philosophers Conference, which begins tomorrow on the UH campus with more than 300 participants from some 40 countries. And for UH Chinese philosophy professor Roger Ames, it's the culmination of a 38-year career at UH. He's on the line with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Is that accurate to say that a lot of the development in past centuries of Eastern Western philosophy happened without their really referring much to one another?
It's true on the Western side. That
yeah.
is to say that even today, most philosophy departments in America and Europe don't teach anything except Anglo-European philosophy. They don't teach Islamic. They don't teach Chinese or Japanese or a Buddhist or South Asian.
They're missing quite a lot by that covers a lot of ground, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the wisdom of the world.
What do you think is behind that sort of academic isolationism, if you will?
I think it has to do with the kind of Eurocentrism that has plagued Western education for a couple of centuries.
Yeah.
You know, there's a kind of universalism that is part of European thinking that is exclusionary, you know, that makes Europe the center.
Sure. We were taught that Alexander conquered the known world when it was a fraction of the world that existed at the time, right?
And Christopher Columbus discovered a world where there were already a lot of people.
Yeah, well, the whole use of the term discovery, the age of discovery, the age of the white man figuring out what a lot of people already knew, right?
Exactly.
So how do we, well, I mean, this the conference coming up is the path out of that, isn't it?
Right. These conferences began in 1939 when three visionaries at the University of Hawaii, Greg Sinclair, that became Sinclair Library, Charlie Moore, Moore Hall, where Asian studies, Asian languages are taught, and Wingsit Chan, these three scholars sat down and said, we in Hawaii are going to be different. And so they created a philosophy department that has half Western philosophy, but the other half is non-Western. Mm-hmm. So all of those other traditions are taught within our department. And so that began sort of a conference series that comes down to today, and that has always been open to the community. So there's no conference fees. Everybody's welcome to participate. Philosophy is the production of social wisdom, and we want everybody to participate in that.
Which means everyone is qualified to make a contribution, yeah?
Absolutely. We're dealing with the pressing issues of our time. The theme is place, and that sounds abstract, but place is homelessness in Hawaii. Place is aina and sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Place is refugees in Europe. Place is international terrorism and toilets in North Carolina.
Sure. That territorial instinct that goes deeper than anything we're able to completely understand. You know, that whole regionalism is behind a lot of wars and conflicts, for one thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier when you say that obliviousness of the two traditions of one another was stronger on the Western side. In the past, have Asian philosophers looked toward, you know, did they read Schopenhauer and Wittgenstein, and were they looking to the West at all?
In some degree. Like the first wave, if we use China as an example, that's my area.
Mm-hmm.
First wave of Western learning was Buddhism, coming in from India in about 100 BCE.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second wave was the Jesuits in the 16th century, 17th century, and then the Protestants. And so the Chinese tradition has tended to be absorbent, that anything that would compete with it, it would make its own.
Hmm.
And so for these past hundreds of years, the Chinese tradition has really been comparative in its orientation. The Western tradition has become a part of its own tradition.
Well, when I think of something that's, you know, a modern philosophical tradition, say something like existentialism seems to have occurred without a lot of reference to the East at all. Is there any Asian philosophy in something like that?
Yeah, there's some. I mean, the Chinese tradition, something like existentialism is a rejection of sort of transcendental thinking. It doesn't. Existentialists don't want to talk about the truth. They want to talk about my truth.
Yeah.
So it's a reversal of gravity. So come back to the earth. But the most of these Asian traditions always were that way oriented. Confucianism is about making the ordinary extraordinary. So it starts with family. It starts with ancestors and the intergenerational transmission of culture. And so it's very this worldly, like existentialism.
That's interesting. That's a comparison I never would have made, but that's not that surprising. But it's still it's kind of fascinating when you put these traditions back together in the same room, which is what this exercise is going to be about. Yeah.
Right, right. And it's it really does produce interesting conversations. It's what really makes, like, you get an education at the University of Hawaii, and it's really different from Oregon or Idaho in the sense that it's not just the philosophy department, but world history movement. I began with Jerry Bentley in the history department at UH, sociology, political science, and so on, that we're much more capacious than most of the institutions on the mainland, and much more inclusive, given our own sort of multi-ethnic community.
It's always troubling when an academic tradition is anything other than inclusive, because automatically that means that it's limited and limiting to those who study under it. Yeah,
absolutely. And many of the problems that we are facing today, you know. I always say that we live in the best of times, we live in the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
Best of times is we have the technology, the science, to land a rocket on a comet. If we put our stuff together, no child in the world would need to go to bed hungry or sick. We could do that now. We have the technology to do that. But then we have the perfect storm, you know, global warming and pandemic and international terrorism and all this other kind of stuff where those problems can only be solved by working together, by understanding our interdependence as human beings and getting away from the individualism of single actors playing to win for themselves. And so the Asian culture really speaks to that kind of a problem. In Buddhism, in Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese philosophies, interdependence is the starting point, that we're constituted by our relationships.
Well, we've been a long time arriving at that conclusion, but it does seem to be more in the air than ever before.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yes, my pleasure, Chris.
Roger Ames is just retiring from the University of Hawaii this semester after 38 years teaching comparative philosophy. On September 1st, he'll take up his new position as humanities chair professor at Peking University. The 11th East-West Philosophers Conference begins tomorrow and runs until May 31st at the East-West Center. And as he said, all are welcome. It will focus on the concept of place, and you can learn more about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.